WB Karen Crow Lafayette, 1037 The Game, a Delta Media station. Call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, not for sale to minors. Website restricted to adults 21 and over.
Let's be real. Most smokers aren't looking for some overcomplicated vaping machine. That's why we created MyBlue. MyBlue is simple. Our pre-filled liquid pods mean there's no mess. One charge and MyBlue lasts all day. And with our range of flavors and nicotine options, you have a choice. MyBlue answers on what matters for smokers, real nicotine satisfaction. And right now, try MyBlue for $1 at select retailers or MyBlue.com.
Hello, Saver. At Walgreens, we like the way you save on things. Take afternoon matinees. You know they have the same endings as full-price movies. And co-pays on Medicare Part D prescriptions. You can get them for as low as $0 with select plans. So when you choose a plan with Walgreens as your preferred pharmacy, you know you're saving smartly. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. $0 copay on Tier 1 generic drugs available through select plans that include Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy.
News 15, the fastest growing station in Acadiana with the most on-air news coverage, is giving you even more. With a full hour of News 15 at noon, join News 15's Taylor Trichet, Jasmine Thibodeau, and meteorologist Adam Olivier for a full hour packed with news, special guests, and the most accurate forecasting in Acadiana. The station with the most on-air news in Acadiana just got more with News 15 at noon, weekdays, only on News 15 NBC.
Are you happy with your job? Are you looking for something different with a little more excitement? Flexible hours, great pay, and great tips? Then apply at the newly enlarged and remodeled Michael's Men's Club, which includes Maryland's restaurant. All positions available. Hostesses, waiters, servers, valet attendants, security, bartenders, marketing, and cooks. Come join the new Michael's Men's Club as it prepares for its grand opening July 22nd. Come and apply between 5 and 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Full and part-time positions are available. Michael's is an equal opportunity employer.
Time for your sports update. This is the 1037 The Game 2-Minute Drill.
What's the news?
It's a rainout. Tonight's game 4 between the Houston Astros and the New York Yankees has been postponed to tomorrow night with first pitch set for 7:08. And you'll hear all the action right here on 1037 The Game. Zach Greinke will get the start for Houston, while the Bronx Bombers, they'll be sending out Masahiro Tanaka. The Louisiana Raging Cajuns, they're gearing up for a Thursday night matchup against Arkansas State. And head coach Billy Napier joined RP3 and Company earlier today and talked about the big game out in Jonesboro.
Well, I think they've got some of the better athletes in our league. You know, it's a new coordinator. Certainly he's had added his blueprint relative to, kind of the structure that they've run in the past. It comes from a very familiar kind of coaching tree, so it's been a smooth transition for them. I think the big thing is that they're getting healthy. They've had a handful of injuries on defense, much like we've had injuries on offense at UL. So it's going to be about, more about us than it is about them, in my opinion.
Kickoff tomorrow night between the Cajuns and the Red Wolves will be at 7 o'clock. You look at the LSU Tigers, they're getting ready for a road trip against Mississippi State with kickoff set for 2:30. And Ed Ogeron talked about the offense that Joe Moorhead brings to the table.
Mississippi State's offense spread, 7 return starters, 32 points per game, 414 yards, a total yards, 228 rushing. This is a dual-threat quarterback, Garrett Schrader. He wants to run the ball. RPO guys, Colin Hill's a good running back. And the Mitchell's wide receiver, they got some good athletes and a big offensive line.
For Acadiana's number one sports station, I'm Clint Doming, and this 2-Minute Drill is powered by Cigar Cove at their new location on the Highway 90 Service Road, 2nd Street in Broussard. Coming to experience the largest humidor in Acadiana, there is nothing better than a good cigar from Cigar Cove.
Bring Acadiana Sports Station 1037 The Game along for the ride. We go wherever you go.
Everywhere.
With the 1037 The Game mobile app.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Hump Day to you. And it is a Hump Day Wednesday, October 16 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, Surviving the Rain. And coming to you on 103.7 The Game. For the next 2 hours, Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. Our pleasure to bring you home from inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Raging Cajuns on the road at Arkansas State tomorrow night. LSU hitting the road again. Going to Stark Vegas on Saturday. The Saints, they're out of our Pelican State as well. Heading to the Windy City later this week to take on the Bears. And yet, it's October baseball time, people. We got to lead off with the Houston Astros. In case you haven't heard, tonight's Game 4 from Yankee Stadium has been postponed. It'll be pushed back a day. Let me give you the drop on that. But again, weather right now in the Empire State going to force that game back a day, and it's going to completely change the way that A.J. Hinch and the Stros, now armed with a 2-1 lead in the ALCS, it'll change their pitching rotation, I think, for the better. I'll give you the details. I'll give you my 2 cents. I welcome yours as well. So for all of our Astros fans, hoping that Hinch and company will take it back, second World Series, birth and victory in 3 years, give us a shout in this opening segment. 706-0111. So the reality is this. Now there's no more travel day, right? Four and five, were supposed to be played tonight, tomorrow night. You travel Friday. Game 6 and 7, if necessary, back in H-Town. So now Game 4 will be played on Thursday night, and we're still going to carry it on Acadiana Sports Station. 6:30 Astro launch, 7:08 Central Time, first pitch from the Bronx. But what it does, as I mentioned, to the rotation cannot be underscored. The way that it would have been, tonight was supposed to be your Jose Holstaff. Hey, it's Houston, baby. We got to mix it up a little bit. Can't be Joe or Johnny or Jack Holstaff. Jose Holstaff was supposed to start with Jose Urquidy. And the Astros may be having to piecemeal this bad boy together a little bit. What would have been was Urquidy and company tonight. Greinke on the mound trying to reverse the curse of two straight poo-poo platter starts tomorrow. And then Verlander Cole, game 6 and 7 back in H-Town. The thing with that rundown is, boy, you are going to leave a lot on the plate of your best pitchers late. In other words, you may take an L between now and Saturday just to set up Saturday, Sunday the way that, well, you kind of were forced to, right? To get the rest the way it needs to be, it would have been Verlander game 6, Cole game 7, and now all of that changes, but with an asterisk and with at least a little bit of risk. And so after the decision was made to postpone due to weather, Stros, Yanks, the ALCS we've all been waiting for, after they postponed Game 4, A.J. Hinch announced it will be Greinke on the mound tomorrow night for Game 4 and Justin Verlander Friday for Game 5, where he'll likely go opposite of James Paxton, who's been just as bad, if not worse, than Greinke lately. And so Greinke, Game 4, Verlander, Game 5, and the best pitcher on planet Earth right now, and I don't think there could be any doubt, Gerrit Cole, slated for Game 6 Saturday, could well be a closeout game, the way the Stros are playing right now, especially if they get that JV game. With Verlander on the mound Friday, Gerrit Cole could be in a closeout situation Saturday at home at Minute Maid. Now, I mentioned that there is an asterisk and that there is some risk. It's really twofold. Greinke, Verlander, Cole, all three are going to be pitching now a day short of what would be their regular optimal rest. The other bit of risk, and I'm willing to live with this, now all of a sudden you've got this potential Urquidy hodgepodge, right? Jose Holstaff. Now you got that coming in an if-needed Game 7 on Sunday. But A.J. Hinch said it, and I'll quote it to you right now. The sooner we can use our best pitchers, the better for us. It was an easy decision. And I, for one, stand by it. Greinke, Verlander, Cole. I am also the one who told you in the ALDS, I wasn't wild, about having Justin Verlander on short rest in Game 4. But understand, the rationale behind my thinking then, I feel, is different than it is now. Why? Because you always knew that you were gearing up for the Yanks in the ALCS. You always knew that. What's behind the next door? Well, we learned last night. My St. Louis Cardinals swept out of the NLCS. The Washington Nationals, Mad Max Scherzer and company, just big chilling and waiting for their first ever World Series appearance. And it's not to say that you have less respect for Anthony Rendon and that Nats offense, but they're not the Yankees. It's fair to say that. We can all publicly admit that. It ain't the Dodgers on the other side for the first time in 3 years. NL pennant winners? No, it's in the nation's capital this time. And so I think this is exactly the time to go for the jugular. And so a little bit of a gift from Mother Nature and the weather gods. The ALCS has been pushed back a day, and that means that Greinke and Verlander will go in New York games 4 and 5. Cole slated for game 6 and your hodgepodge in game 7. Clint, I love this plan. I know that there was another alternative, right? Saving your best for last. I don't believe in playing it that way, especially if you've got this team now on the ropes. You're up 2-1. You got the start that you needed out of Garrett Cole last night. I understand he put, what, 5 freebies on the base pass. Who cares? He was phenomenal, again, in keeping them off the scoreboard. I like this play.
I love this play as well. It's just so perfect, the way everything worked out. Again, if it was, you know, game 4 and you put out your boy Zach Greinke, I definitely would have my druthers and say, hey, that's not the best idea in the world. But this rain delay helps out the Astros in so many ways because now you have a chance to close this bad boy out in 6. Yes, Greinke could have another poo-poo platter start, but then right behind him, you got Verlander on ample rest. And then you got Garrett Cole on the Saturday.
To echo that, Clint, I'll get your response. I love the idea of Verlander versus Paxton in Game 5. Final game of the season that'll be played at Yankee Stadium. One of your best in Verlander versus one of their shakiest. Love, love, love it.
It's absolutely perfect how everything is shaping up, and I can't wait to see what happens in that final game in Yankee Stadium, and then it heads on over back to Minute Maid one more time. Hopefully, Garrett Cole is looking to close things out. This is works out perfectly.
Right in the throes of the high school, college, and pro football season. NBA basketball, despite LeBron's best efforts at diplomacy overseas, way, way overseas, it'll be here within a week as well, and yet we're talking baseball to lead off the program today. Why? Because the Houston Astros, they've got a chance to scale that mountain yet again, and I think this weather delay enhanced those chances all the more. We've got more great content and great guests that are coming aboard on a Hump Day show. On the other side of this break, Steve Robertson, jeanspage.com. He covers hashtag Hail State, and we've got to get his 2 cents on what's happened to Mississippi State football since last we saw them taking on UL in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. LSU 19-point favorites over Mississippi State inside Davis Wade Stadium coming up this weekend. So Steve Robertson on the other side of the break. And at half past the hour, spread heads with Cousin Dino. Dino was on a heater last week. Can he keep it up? We'll find out. And from 5:15 to 6 o'clock, we're going to air my interviews with the Lafayette High Mighty Lions. We did have them impeached yesterday. You just didn't hear it on Acadiana Sports Station on account of the Astros kicking some tail up in New York. And so Rob Poole at 5:15, Zon Sanye and a really fun group that's now 4-2 from 5:30 until 6. Make sure you stick around. We got plenty more show to go. And after a brief timeout, we'll be back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Right back at it. More of your 4 o'clock hour. And let's switch it up. From baseball, we're going back to the gridiron. Getting you ready for LSU Mississippi State from Stark Vegas. Let's get out to the Artco Equipment Hotline. You've listened to the show long enough, you know Steve Robertson, jeanspage.com. Steve, how the heck are you?
Man, I tell you, it's a little windy up here in Stark Vegas, but, yeah, it's nice to have some football weather. Looking forward to a great football weekend. A lot of Tiger fans headed to to start for the first time in 2 years, and eager to see Joe Burrow and that great LSU Tiger offense in person.
Let me ask you this. You spent a long time, and you still technically cover the state of Louisiana when it comes to recruiting, but you've had a very big footprint in South Louisiana. What do you make out of LSU offensively being a juggernaut and the defense playing catch-up? It's obviously very contrary, but as you watch it out there with an intimate knowledge of how things usually are in Baton Rouge, what do you make of it?
You know, it's difficult to really wrap your mind around it. I mean, you know, they're scoring points almost a historic pace. And, you know, 2 years ago, you know, I don't think anybody expected Ed Orgeron to be in this position. It's incredible how life works, you know. And I think Ed's done a great job of letting his coaches coach, you know, instead of having a spoon in every pot. I think he's been the CEO of the program and kind of heads up recruiting, and has hired some really good assistant coaches, and has let Dave Aranda do a good job there, and Coach Ensminger's doing a good job. It's just it's remarkable to see, because I don't think anybody really gave LSU a chance to really challenge this year in the West. And then you look at it, they are a legitimate national championship contender. It's incredible.
Steve, since last we spoke, and that was right prior to the Raging Cajuns Mississippi State game in New Orleans, I guess give us your version of what's happened with the Cowbell crew. 3-3 overall, 1-2 in the SEC. How's it been since Labor Day weekend?
Well, it's been disappointing. You know, and a lot of those things are not necessarily Jim Moorhead's fault. You know, it's Mississippi State's had the Tudor Gate 10, got 10 players that are suspended for 8 games this year, and that's something they've had to kind of work around. And it's so crazy because 1 week you'll have a guy on the scout team, and the next week he's with the ones. And so it's really hurt their chemistry on defense. You're missing a guy like Willie Gay Jr. as a potential NFL linebacker from your defense most of the season. That's going to have an impact, especially on a defense that's kind of looking for depth. And then offensively, Tommy Stevens, grad transfer quarterback from Penn State, you bring him in expecting him to kind of serve as a stopgap guy to show these folks how to run your offense, while Garrett Schrader kind of gets a little bit seasoned under his belt and develops. But instead, Tommy Stevens has been injured now for the better part of a month and is no longer the same quarterback that he was the first 6 quarters of the season. And now the true freshman's got in the starting quarterback position. And so all of those things were not really things that were on the table, but Mississippi State's had to adjust. And I think most people expected them to be 5-1 at this point. But here they are, 3-3 with LSU and Alabama to go.
Talking shop with Steve Robertson, jeanspage.com. Steve, good enough to join us on 103.7 The Game. How much, I guess, patience and receptivity will there be for Joe Moorhead? I understand, Steve, he's only a second-year head coach, but given the legacy that was set by Dan Mullen before him, I guess, what's the outlook from fans?
Well, you know, from the fans, it's a lot different than it is for the decision-makers, you know, because, you know, fans – have grown accustomed to winning here at Mississippi State. I mean, 9 consecutive years of going to a bowl game, and that hadn't always been the case here. And so people don't want to revert and go back to what Mississippi State used to be. And so they're a little bit thinner patience-wise than perhaps administration is. But I think, you know, the more rational, level-headed Bulldog fan understands you're having to start a true freshman quarterback in the most unforgiving league in all of college football, and you're having to play without some of your most notable players defensively. That's a tough order for any coach, much less a second-year coach with a lot of first-year assistant coaches. And so I think that it's certain that he'll be back next year, and I think they'll give him some latitude to see what he can do with Garrett Schrader, who has proven to be Mississippi State's most prolific offensive player to date.
Steve, understanding the way that Joe Burrow and LSU want to operate heading to Starkville, how does that suit the current shape of the Mississippi State defense? And I guess where would you say the Bulldogs are strongest on that side of the football right now?
Well, yeah, that when they're at full strength, they're really good at linebacker. But, you know, Errol Thompson's a guy that's had to kind of fight through, you know, those guards because of the fact that the defensive line has been a little bit thin this year. And so as a result, linebacker play has been a little bit hit or miss. But secondary-wise, you know, Mississippi State has Hammond, Louisiana's own Cameron Dantzler, who's a Jim Thorpe semifinalist and a guy that's one of the best cover guys in the Southeastern Conference. He had a big weekend last weekend on the road to Tennessee. And so that'll be some interesting matchups to kind of see how he and Mari Smitherman can kind of defend this LSU passing game. I think they've got the athletes in the secondary to kind of match up. But the bigger issue is just schematically. I mean, that's one thing you give LSU a lot of credit for, is if you have a weakness in your secondary and in your pass coverage, they find a way to exploit that. And so that'll be interesting. But I really don't give the Mississippi State defense a lot of hope to really kind of slow this thing down. I mean, I think if State can keep it close, people would be excited about that. But I just don't see a way at this point without LSU's help for State to win the ball game.
The national ranking, Steve, would tell us there's a big gap between LSU, Alabama, and maybe everybody else in the SEC. Is that the way you see it?
That is absolutely the way I see it, and I felt a whole lot better about Georgia until last weekend when they laid an egg at home against South Carolina. And, you know, you give Will Muschamp credit. He's won back-to-back games against teams he had no business beating. But there they are kind of being the fly in the SEC East ointment. But, yeah, I think Alabama and LSU, and to be quite honest with you, I think if LSU and Alabama played this weekend, I might go with the Tigers, to be quite honest with you. But who would have thought that that game would potentially be an offensive shootout? I don't think anybody expected that when you look at, you know, what we've had historically between those two schools the last decade. But I think everybody that's a fan of college football is really kind of looking forward to that ball game.
Well, let's take this conversation to the next level then. I think, and look, I'm going to raise my hand here. I'm guilty of this, Steve. A lot of people in the Deep South are as well. I think we've pointed first to the Pac-12, then to the Big 12, and said they don't play real football. That's basketball and grass. What do you make of the fact that LSU and Alabama are now basically playing that same brand? I mean, was it inevitable? Are we late to the party? What do you make of that?
Well, you know, one thing that I said for years is, you know, LSU and Alabama were kind of the last schools in the conference to kind of go to the spread offense. You know, Arkansas was a little bit too, but they're really kind of an afterthought in the SEC West. But you know, I think LSU and Alabama both have done exceptionally well being a ground-and-pound, strong defensive unit-type team. But I think LSU has added a new element now. Of course, they're not quite as strong defensively as they have been. And I don't know if this is this Joe Burrow or is this a real change in offensive philosophy long-term? And so Joe Burrow, of course, having a Heisman-type, All-American-type season, you know, will they be quite as prolific with another trigger man? I think we'll see. But, you know, I think we're kind of living in a golden age right now with Tua and Joe Burrow right now kind of leading the conference in most offensive statistical categories.
It's been incredible. Steve, before we let you go, I know we're coming up pretty quickly here on college basketball season. We just had the SEC tip off. I guess what should we expect from Ben Howland and company?
Yeah, we're expecting to have another NCAA tournament team. They went last year and got upset in the first round by Liberty, which is still a bone of contention in these parts. But, you know, Reggie Perry is a guy that we think has a legitimate chance for some SEC Player of the Year type consideration. He led Team USA to a gold medal this summer, has really refined his skill set, much better shooter than he was a season ago. And Tyson Carter is a guy that's been around forever and a day. He's going to run some at the point this year. And there's a freshman they're really excited about by the name of Iverson Molinar. They think that he has the potential to be a star in this league over the next couple of years. And then Nick Weatherspoon will be eligible after sitting out about 10 games to finish up his portion of a suspension. But we feel like that starting five will be able to compete with just about anybody in the conference. The real question is going to be depth. You know, can they develop some depth? Can they find some offense off the bench? Because the starting five will be good, but as you know, in this league, that'll only get you around 500. You know, if you're going to take a big step, you've got to be able to get some bench points, and that's really the question mark about this Bulldog basketball team.
Football, basketball, we've gotten to just about everything. I don't suppose you want to go in on Astros baseball as well. You don't lean that way with your fan, do you?
Oh, with baseball, we covered every Mississippi State baseball game home and away last year. We didn't miss a single game last year. And the schedule came out today, and State will host Oregon State in a three-game series in the second weekend of the season. We're really excited about that. And this year in the SEC series, State will avoid Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, but will have to take road trips to South Carolina and Vanderbilt. Those will be great trips. And I think this Mississippi State baseball team is going to be really, really good offensively. If they can find one more weekend pitcher, I think they can make another run to Omaha.
You're just an almanac, brother. You know, I appreciate the time. I'm not going to be there this Saturday, but enjoy the affair in Stark, Vegas. Check you out soon.
We'll see you, Ben. Take care, brother.
That's the great Steve Robertson, jeanspage.com. At Scout Steve R, if you're so inclined, on the Twitter machine. He's not a good follow. He's a great follow. Probably not a great hearer. Can I say that? CD. I was asking about the Strohs there. I wanted to know if he was leaning toward the Strohs. Dude gave me some straight up, I mean, the dude, cowbell crew, Mississippi State baseball talk. You saw that coming on October 16th, right?
Did not see that coming. Not one bit. Then again, the Cajuns did have a little series with them a couple weeks ago in terms of exhibition. That they split.
I tell you something that I know is coming, and that's a conversation with Cousin Dino. On the other side of this break, I didn't see him going ham last week. Dino is spanking me and abusing me, and so we got to re-up, and we got to run it back. It's time for Spread Ends. We're going to take a quick timeout, and we'll be back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports. What in the hell is Spread Heads? Oh, a segment for degenerate gamblers. All right, well, then it is time for Spread Heads with Cousin Dino. But a segment with one degenerate gambler that's, well, hotter than the other and doing pretty darn well. Welcome back in, and welcome in Cousin Bleeping Dino. You, my friend, went 7-3 last week, a scorching 4-1 on the college football side. You've now run your record to 27-23. You're four games up on 500. I'm four games down on 500. That leaves you eight games clear of me. I hate you.
Yeah, well, if we all get hot. You know, I feel like that hot pitcher. Give me the ball, game seven. That quarterback that wants to get out there and really run with it. So, hey, you know, I'm just fortunate.
Thank you for those great after-school special lines there. Last year I spanked you, and now you got my number. Let's see what happens this week. We're going to start on the college football side. And I'm going to punish you with some games that are really outside of the SEC by and large, except for this one. Number 9, Florida, 6-point favorites on the road at South Carolina. Who you got?
Yeah, this one had me scratching my head. I was going to take Florida at first, but I'm going to take South Carolina at home plus the points here. I think they've proven that they can hang with some of the best teams. Well, I don't know if Georgia is one of the best teams, but they can hang with some talent teams in Georgia when they went on the road and beat them. The only thing that worries me is their quarterback, Ryan Helinski. Is his knee going to be healthy? He was a little shaken up in the second half last week. But I'm hearing he's back. I love South Carolina's defense. I love Javon Kinlaw, the big D tackle. You know Coach Boom is going to bring it. And I also worry about Florida and the factor that they've already just, in back-to-back weeks, faced Auburn and then went on the road to Baton Rouge. That's big boy football. And now you got to go on the road again to play South Carolina. So I'm going to take the Cox at home here plus the point.
Love South Carolina's side in this one as well. Life after Jake Bentley has been fine. I understand the backup's knee isn't 100%, but we know that the backup's knee that's now starting for Florida, Kyle Trask, isn't 100% either. I think they're battered and bruised after the trip to Baton Rouge this weekend. I like South Carolina as well. All right, we'll move it first to two games, Dino, from the Pac-12. And it's number 12, Oregon. At number 25, Washington, Justin Herbert and the Ducks are 3-point favorites, and I'm going to take them. I just like the team with the better quarterback, and that's no dig at Jacob Eason. I just like Oregon. I like the way they're playing. I don't think that's a lot of points. I got them to cover it on the road.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Oregon's the better team. I mean, we always think about Oregon with offense, but the thing about this Oregon team is it's not about their offense. It's about their defense. Since they lost to Auburn when they gave up 27 points, you realize in those five wins since, they've only given up 25 points the entire season. I think they're the better team. I do like Washington, but I think Oregon is doing it in a way that the Pac-12 isn't used to seeing. So, yeah, I think Oregon covers that three.
Isn't it weird? LSU, Bama doing it with offense, no defense, and Oregon starting to flip it around. 2019 is a weird time. All right, let's keep it in the conference out west. Number 17, Arizona State. At number 13, Utah. How about this spread? Utah minus 13.5. Whoa.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going to go here. Bryce Eccles out there in Salt Lake is definitely a tough place to play. And I think Vegas is trying to bait me, but I've got to take Arizona State here plus the points. Arizona State's got the same record. They're playing some good ball. Their quarterback, Jaden Daniels, is coming off one of his best performances ever. They got an All-American running back in Eno Benjamin, who went off last week. And they've got Coach Herm Edwards. I love Coach Herm Edwards. He's going to have his team ready to play. I don't think they win, but I think 13.5 is way too much.
Hey, Dino, you know what I have to say to that? Clint, tell Dean what I got to say about that.
You play to win the game.
But they won't, and they're going to get smashed. This line reeks.
Oh.
And I'm absolutely going with not the two Utes. I'm going with all 11 of them. Utah wins this game, and they roll over Arizona State. Arizona State, a bit of pretenders this season in my book. Let's keep it rolling. Into the Big 12, number 18, Baylor at Oklahoma State. OK State unranked, but they are three-point favorites, and I'm taking them at home. The thing is this, Dino, Baylor 6-0. They barely squeaked by. Texas Tech, double OT win at home last week. I think this is the week that they fall. It's a tough place to play. We've seen a ranked Kansas State team already go into Stillwater, catch their first L of the season. I think Oklahoma State is a better team at home than away by a large margin. I got them to cover the three.
100%. I 100% agree with a lot of what you said. I'm going to take Oklahoma State to cover here as well. I think the main factor here is their running back, Chuba Hubbard. He's leading the FBS in rushing yards. This guy just pounds it. It's not 70 yards, but it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust. And on the flip side, some of Baylor's wins have been, they are undefeated, but it's cupcakes. They beat Rice. They beat UT San Antonio. I think Vegas is trying to bait you in here, so I'd go with Oklahoma to cover here.
Tell your kids about undefeated Baylor before this Saturday, because then it will be too late. All right, Dino, let's finish up a ranked matchup in the Big Ten. Number 16, Michigan at number 7, Penn State. I wonder if we agree on this one. Nittany Lions favored by 8.5 at home.
Yeah, I doubt we do. I hate to do it, but I'm going to take Michigan. I'm going to take Michigan to cover. I think it's way too much. I'm really expecting one of those ugly Big Ten just slugfest, low scoring. And I think when you're going to those low scoring matchups, 8.5 is way too much. I don't think Shea Patterson's going to be shocked by that, by the atmosphere as he's gone through the SEC, as he's gone through the Big Ten. And to be 100% honest, if you're looking to, you know, make a little bit of an extra mortgage payment, I would take Michigan to pull off the outright upset.
You might send that ambulance nearby you for Michigan, because they will lose this ball game. But whoa, I'm with you. Dino, I'm with you. That's too many. I'm serious. It's too many points. And I understand what happened a couple of weeks ago, right? Michigan, Iowa played like one of those, you know, 3-2 soccer style games. I think it was 7-3 in American football style. Penn State's a better offensive team, but they're not 8.5 points better. You and I like to bag on Michigan, but I'm with you. I think they cover an enormous spread here. All right, let's go to the NFL, and I'll lead us off. Thursday night football, KC at Denver. Chiefs, 3.5-point favorites. I'm taking Kansas City. Yes, they've lost 2 in a row. I think it's time they right the ship. I can't bet on Joe Flacco and company, not even at home, not even on short rest. It's not like it's that far of a trip for the Chiefs. Give me the citizens of Arrowhead to take it on the road and win by more than 4.
Yeah, I agree. I honestly don't understand this line. I'm getting scared that I'm agreeing with you that much, given your record. But Kansas City, let's be honest, Kansas City is the much better team. Yeah, Denver did beat a crappy Tennessee Titan team last week, but Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to get it together. They've lost 2 straight. They're going to get things back on track, and so I like this line a lot. I would take Kansas City.
We have agreed 5 of 6 times. Let's see if it continues in the NFC North. Minnesota at Detroit, a pick'em ball game in the Motor City. You first.
Yeah, this is one of the toughest ones for me. I could see either team winning this, to be 100% honest, but I'm going to tend to pick them. Vegas doesn't even know where to go with the line. I'm going to go with Detroit. I'm going to go with Detroit because I think they proved they should have won the game against Green Bay last week. I love Stafford, the way he's playing. I love the running back, Kerryon Johnson. Minnesota's tough, but Detroit is not your normal Detroit right now. I think Ford Field and the crowd is going to play a factor, so I'm going to take Detroit here.
I really like Detroit here. I understand that Cousins is starting to get right. Stephon Diggs isn't whining anymore. But let me just tell you, Detroit's a good football team. You mentioned the Green Bay game. Yeah, they got screwed. If you watch them versus Kansas City, that was a coin flip game they easily could have won. They gave away a game that ended up being a tie in the opener to Arizona. This is a team that could easily, and I mean easily, be 4-1, maybe even 5-0. I like Detroit here. All right, let's keep it moving in the AFC. Houston at Indy. Colts, 1-point favorites at home. Give me Houston to win straight up. Houston, for me, Dino, is the AFC version of the Seattle Seahawks. I'm going to talk more about them here in a moment, but I love the ball Deshaun Watson is playing. Give me the Texans to win on the road.
Yeah, I'm all aboard the Houston bandwagon. I think they are a true AFC contender if the Patriots weren't in the AFC. Deshaun Watson is just, he's going off. They've scored 84 points in their last two games. They just went on the road and beat Kansas City. I think the Texans go on the road and win away something, you know, by at least a touchdown.
I'm going to go oppo of our rhythm. I'm going to go first on this next game, and you'll understand why momentarily. It's the New Orleans Saints at the Chicago Football Bears. Saints go on the road, and yet again, they are underdogs. 3.5 points to Ditka and company. And let me go first. Let me take New Orleans to lose. I'm going to take Chicago to win and cover. But, Dino, understand, this isn't about me anymore. It's bigger than that, Dino. There are cosmic forces at play. Every week, I pick the Saints not to cover. Every week, with Drew Brees on the sideline playing tug-of-war with his thumb, they still win football games. It's not about me and my record. Yes, I think New Orleans will win. But you bet your backside that I'm taking Chicago to cover 3.5.
Well, I'm glad you're doing it for the people. You're a people's man. I've always known that about you. But give me the Saints. My Saints. I think that I'm all aboard. I love the Saints, man. I told you that they're the real team. They've gone 4-0 since Brees went out. They've gone 4-0 against the spread since Brees went out. I think they win this game straight up. You're getting me fired up. I mean, their defense is statistically better than Chicago's is. So I think this is stealing money. I think this is New Orleans all day plus the points. New Orleans all day straight up.
All right, take us home with this one. Baltimore at Seattle, intriguing matchup. Two of the better dual threat quarterbacks in the NFL. Seahawks at home favored by 3.5. Who you like?
Nah, it's intriguing. You serious? Seattle's going to run away with this one. Russell Wilson's been arguably the best player in the NFL. I mean, he's got 14 touchdown passes. He doesn't have a pick on the year. He's ran for, I think, 2 or 3 touchdowns. I think Baltimore is still a little bit of a farce. Heading out to Seattle is no easy business. So when you go on out west against arguably who should be the MVP of the league and Russell Wilson, no. Give me Seattle all day here.
I agree with you. Seattle, one of my favorites this year in reality football, in fantasy football, and for gambling purposes as well. And so, Dino, let me tell you, we agree 8 out of 10 times, and there's a caveat that doesn't include Saints-Bears. And I'm no longer picking the Saints to cover. Again, cosmic forces are at play. We both like South Carolina, Oregon, Utah, and let's see here, I'm missing one. And we both like Oklahoma State as well. On the pro side, we like the Chiefs, the Lions, the Texans, and Seattle. It's time to get rich.
Yeah, it is. We're either going to have a lot of happy listeners or a lot of angry listeners next week. But you know what? I'm feeling confident. I think we're gonna deliver some Johnny Cash, a little coin in the pocket.
It's time to roll, brother. Catch up with you next hump day.
All right, appreciate it, man.
There you go. Not bad. Clint, got to keep doing it. Again, it's not about me. Take one for the team. Got to keep picking against the Saints. It's the way to be. And we will be right back in. I want to get into the Saints-Bears matchup a little bit when we return. Happy to take your phone calls as well. 706-0111. Your locks of this coming week to steal from my brother across the base and Jimmy Ott. Happy to take those too. Stick with us. We're going to take a quick timeout and then back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Just a tremendous text in the break. It validates, Clint, I think, the work that I've been putting in on spreadheads these last couple of years. We'll just say anonymous. Texter to the program. Tell that Johnny come lately, cousin Dino, to get his record out of here this year. I smashed his face into a car windshield champ kind style last year. You remember that, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
And then we came down the road for bowls and playoffs, and I was just handing out winners. So, Dino, He's taking a lot of bows right now, but you could argue that I just agreed with him 8 out of 10 times to maybe find a way back to victory lane.
Exactly. That's all that matters at the end of the day is who wins the whole enchilada when it's all said and done. So, hey, whatever you got to do, right?
Got to get your skin in the game here. Eventually, we'll start making you pick these ball games.
Oh,
all
boy.
Right. Yeah. No, actually, it changed my mind. We don't want that. I'm going to give an Astros reminder, and then I'd want to dive back into Saints-Bears. We'll take some calls. 706-0111. We'll have the Astros at the Yankees game 4. Again, it's postponed from tonight until tomorrow night. So tonight, Clint and I with you till 6. Five Guys, Stories and Lies, as normally scheduled, until 8, and then it's the Coach O Show, 8 until 9. Tomorrow's game 4, 6:30, Astro launch, 7:08, first pitch. So make sure that you're dialed in for that. We'll have more updates on the Astros as the ALCS continues, and knock on wood, the World Series approaches. All right, let's get to Saints-Bears. All reverse jinxing aside, that line to me is surprising. Bears minus 3.5, understanding the issues that they've had injury-wise with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback, understanding that offensively they've got some names that you certainly have heard of, but nobody that you fear. Allen Robinson's the best receiver on that team. After that, it's, I mean, like what? Taylor Gabriel, a couple guys that are trying to find their way along. Trey Burton at tight end. Again, nobody that really jumps out, I think, and scares you. In the backfield, David Montgomery, who, Clint, you know I loved in the preseason.
Yes,
told you he'd
did.
Be the NFL Rookie of the Year. He has not been that so far. Tariq Cohen has found kind of a subjugated role from even what he's used to. This Bears offense doesn't scare anybody. It's the Bears defense that typically puts teams in a headlock. And so how much do you think that changes the way that Sean Payton operates with this offense? We heard a little bit from Gus Kattengill on that subject on Monday. He said it's about resetting the pocket. It's about establishing the run game, ironically enough. Your thoughts?
And I have to agree with what he was saying. You got to be able to establish the run game and start popping guys off, because you got to think about it. That's one of the most vaunted parts of the Bears' defense is that front seven. If you can wind up wearing down that front seven, they're going to wind up letting off some big plays, and then eventually you can open up that run, that passing game a lot more. The big thing is, what's Alvin Kamara status like? Because he didn't practice earlier today, so that winds up kind of putting things in a little different position.
I'm not sweating that as much. Okay. Many of the local and national reports saying he's at the point where it's just understood he can go without practicing. My concern with Kamara is not this Sunday. Just like with Jacksonville, it wasn't last Sunday. My concern is if it is indeed a high ankle sprain, and that seems to be the suggestion, Clint, that kind of thing lingers, man. And they're going to be looking at that past the bye week. And so you can afford, apparently, to be without Drew Brees for 6 or 7 weeks. When you have a backup like Teddy Bridgewater, I don't think you can afford to be without Brees and Kamara. I don't think you're trotting out there with Bridgewater, Latavius Murray, and then throwing back the clock until 2015 on this Chicago Bears defense. It's already going to be a game, in my opinion, that's played at a similar speed to last weekend against Jacksonville, a couple weeks ago with Dallas. I mean, for me, first one to 14 points wins this football game. If Kamara is going to go, even with this injury, I just hope this thing doesn't get worse. Because if you wake up, it's early November, and Breeze is back, and you're starting to feel all high and mighty and good about that, who that nation, that feeling will immediately be replaced with a gut punch if you're doing it without Alvin Kamara. Right now, he is, I think, the straw that stirs this offensive drink. And even when Breeze is in there, we know how much of a difference maker he is.
I'd agree with you wholeheartedly on that, because it's going to be huge to have all these guys back healthy, ready to go, but you know you're going to wind up putting yourself against the wall without Alvin Kamara, because I feel like if you don't have Alvin Kamara, maybe the Saints offense goes back to the way it was, where it's 75% pass, 25% run.
Help me out here. The Saints did sign a running back today. I don't think it really has a ton to do with intentions of getting said player to the field. You got to help me with this. I think it's for depth purposes. They got rid of a backup DB, and they signed a running back today.
Yeah, trying to get those notes right now.
Oh, come on. You got to help me out here. Zinner, maybe? Oh, come on. It's tip of the tongue.
It's Zach something. Not Zach Line, obviously.
No, it is definitely not Zach Line. I don't think they re-signed a fullback. So we'll get this for you here momentarily. Apologies on the program. We don't have it lined up. They signed a running back that's going to give a little bit of depth. You and I were making jokes about it late last week on the program. Not even sure we could name a running back that's behind Kamara.
Zach Zinner.
I said that.
So
Zach Zinner.
Yeah. Zinner, not Sinner.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah, they cut Stephon Anthony. That's what they did.
Okay, so a backup linebacker.
Yeah.
All right. Samir, Naga. He's
not going to be
not
here anymore.
Play here anymore, right?
They also signed
in the job. I want you to know I can still do that.
Exactly. You can still do that. And also they signed Brian Parker, for what it's worth, the tight end as well. I know Jared Cook didn't practice as well in today's practice. So there's
Isn't that lovely? Again, none of these guys are going to make a lot of difference on the field on Sunday. Maybe they help with special teams, but it's a little bit more for depth, especially, I think, as they get down the stretch at practice. All right, CD, we're down the stretch of our 4 o'clock hour. Let's cap it off with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Shocking. We've spent a lot of time in this hour, at least to lead things off, talking Stros baseball and the ALCS. The National League side of the playoff bracket this year was nothing short of shocking. A wild card team, the Nationals, have survived and made it all the way through to the World Series. The Dodgers, twice over in a row in the World Series. They're out. But, man, the way my Cardinals got done, that was a bit shocking as well. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We are halfway home. Coming right back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. Ben Love alongside the famous Glenn D. More of a hump day edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports coming at you as we take you home on 103.7 The Game. A lot of fun so far. Got inside of the Hale State perspective before LSU travels to Stark Vegas. Our thanks to Steve Robertson, and no thanks to Cousin Dino. At least my picks so far. Well, they've not been great. Try to change that this weekend. We had some fun with spreadheads as well. Right now, want to dive into Billy Napier, UL, and a bounce-back midweek effort. Cajuns, tomorrow night, take it on App State. Moments ago, UL, well, they touched down. They're in Jonesboro. They're ready for action. And this one could well be, at least at this point, to decide the leader in the clubhouse in the Sun Belt Western Division. So we'll start there, and do not forget, 5:15 until 6 o'clock, we're going to have the best of my conversations yesterday with the Lafayette High Mighty Lions. We did have a lot of fun at Pete's on Johnston with the Lions Prep Power Hour. We'll get there momentarily. Right about now, I want you to hear from Billy Napier. He's always looking ahead to the next football game. But this time around, it just happens to be a division rival. It just happens to be the Red Wolves.
You know, so it's on to Arkansas State. You guys know this team. They've had a little bit of an injury bug on defense, but they're they've got some of the better players in the entire league on that side of the ball. And certainly offensively as explosive as anybody. You know, they got the best receiver in the country in total yards and touchdowns. And regardless of what happened to them at quarterback, they continue to move the ball, create yards and create points. So great team speed, and certainly that always shows up on special teams, and well coached.
Offensively, I think it's a group that is still trying to maybe catch up to some of the Red Wolves teams that we've seen in the past, but that does not include wide receiver Omar Bayless, and here Napier goes in on the A-State wideout.
Yeah, well, Omar, I think you're spot on there. Omar's a terrific talent, and I think that the quarterback that's playing for him has done a nice job of giving him catchable balls. They do a good job of designing concepts and giving him opportunities, a lot of run-pass options, and certainly a lot of well-designed passes and screens where he gets the ball. So he's a terrific weapon in the red zone down inside in that area of the field. So you got to, you know, when you do play one-on-one, you got to hold up. And certainly anytime you're doubling them, maybe somebody else is on one-on-one scenario or you're a gap short in the running game. So they do a good job, certainly. They've moved the ball and scored on a consistent basis so far, and it starts with him.
Speaking of wide receivers, the Raging Cajuns trying to get Jamarcus Bradley back in the fold or at least keep him there. An update on his status from Napier.
He's been day-to-day, but we do anticipate having him 100% for the game. So he's been participating a little bit, modified in what he's done. Certainly he's played a ton of ball around here, so we've been pretty careful, but he'll participate in today's practice full speed and tomorrow's practice full speed.
Must be noted this was Monday for Billy Napier. So Monday and Tuesday, Bradley back out there running around. CD, we got some time to roam ourselves. Cajuns are 6-point favorites going on the road to Arkansas State. It's kind of hard to imagine. UL 4-2 on the season. Again, the loss to App State certainly took some wind out of the sails of Cajun fans that were looking for immediate conference supremacy. All right, it's not going to happen this quickly, but you still got an opportunity to chip away at it, even though if you make it to the first weekend in December and you're, again, Western Division champs, yeah, you may have to go on the road this time around. What an opportunity tomorrow night. Again, another nationally televised game. Arkansas State 3-3 overall. Last played at Georgia State and lost 52-38. This is a winnable game, I have to imagine, for the Cajuns.
It really has to be a winnable game, despite what the trend has been for this series over the last few years. Whoever's been that home team has won in the last several, but I think it's going to wind up turning around. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Billy Napier and this team knows what it's going to take to be able to get to the Western Division, and I might be misspeaking here, but I don't think the Cajuns under Billy Napier have lost two straight games, as far as I can remember, not counting, obviously, the postseason.
I was about to say, in Boone, yeah, and then against Tulane to end last season.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, I do believe you're right as well. Cajuns, again, at 4-2, an opportunity to improve their tally. Hey, we got to change some things around today. Those darn Astros. They took up our real estate yesterday. They were supposed to be here today. Now they're not. That means five guys are back in at 6. It's a whole thing. But it does leave me with an early 5 p.m. hour opportunity to remind you that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. I'll encourage you to go to their website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and those customized patio covers with the Cypress accents, of course. Know that they are the kings of customization. And at Patio Center, we don't just say it. They live it every day. It truly is never one size fits all. They're the licensed, bonded, and, well, they're ready to help you at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Licensed, insured, and bonded. There we go. Appreciate it myself. And now we got some that Josh Reddick was more than happy to throw at the New York Yankees fans. Yesterday, into the late afternoon, early evening, Stros won 4-1. It was a big Game 3 victory. Started to swing some momentum back in A.J. Hinch and the Stros' favor. But get this. Pretty ugly incident. Fans erupted in the Bronx after a replay review changed Edwin Encarnacion's infield hit that led off the eighth inning to a ground out. After that, not just water bottles, but baseballs and other objects were thrown onto the field. Here's just some of the things that Reddick had to say. I don't think fans realize when they do that, you could hit a player. You hit a baseball player with a baseball from the third deck. It's got a little bit of movement. on it. So it could definitely do some damage to you, and it's frustrating to see as a player in the outfield. I saw water bottles and like two baseballs. They were two souvenir baseballs thrown in center and left field. I got all the water bottles in right. This feels like a bad idea, right? This feels like a double-A baseball promotion where they give out double-A batteries, right? And you get to pelt people with throws. Giving away souvenir baseballs and then those Yankees bozos are throwing them out on the field, it's incredibly dangerous. I don't blame Josh Reddick one bit. I kind of wonder if I should be faulting the promotions people up in New York.
I think you could also kind of – I think you just fault the fans in general. This is reminding me a lot of what we were hearing about in the lead-up to the LSU-Florida game with the players getting pelted with them, bottles that definitely weren't filled with water, and definitely a lot of those things that were happening the last time LSU headed over to Gainesville. It's reminding me a lot about that. It's just a bad look for the New York Yankees fans.
And they say enough that makes them look bad. Now all of a sudden they're doing things, just doubling down on the dastardly deeds. Great work, Yankees fans.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PetioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
But here's the upshot. Maybe in about 2 or 3 days, you can all go throw baseballs at each other while watching the World Series, and that would be just fine for Astros fans everywhere. All right, a reminder, on the other side of this break, again, a bit of a detour from some of our usual programming. Yesterday, we weren't able to air our Prep Power Hour with Rob Poole and the Lafayette High Mighty Lions over the air on Acadiana Sports Station. We're going to run that back at you today. Really was a lot of fun. Mighty Lions, 4-2 on the regular season. They got a big one going on the road at Barb coming up Friday. On the other side of this break, my one-on-one chat with Rob Poole. And from 5:30 to 6, a quartet of players led off by somebody who was incredibly sharp. Zan Sanye, he was excellent. You're going to want to hear from the quarterback of Lafayette High. So we'll take a brief timeout, then we'll be right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
It's the start of the Lafayette High Mighty Lions Prep Power Hour on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love going to be joined during the next couple of minutes by head coach Rob Poole. Coach, we got a great crowd tonight. The cheerleaders are here. We got the dance team here. Parents, players, a lot of excitement for Mighty Lions football. Why not? Off to a 4-2 start this year.
Yeah, our Friday night experience is pretty cool. We always have a good big student section at the game, and our cheerleaders do a good job, and our dance team's dancing at halftime, and they help with the band and everybody, and it's exciting.
I saw your group in the jamboree at the Kiwanis event over at Cajun Field, and I knew, okay, this is a different group than 2 years ago for darn sure, but looks like steps forward even from 2018. How have you seen that 6 games into this regular season?
Well, we just have tremendous leadership. Our senior class has done a good job. They've been with me for 4 years. A lot of those guys that have experience playing, and the guys that didn't really did a good job, you know, as developmental kids in JV and stuff like that. So we're a player-led team. You know, they take care of a lot of discipline stuff. They correct each other before I have to deal with it. You know, our staff's better. It just takes a while to get football rolling. There's really no microwave in it. You know, you can't microwave football. It takes time to develop it and make sure that everybody's on the same page, and I think that we got that.
Did you have a moment this summer where you recognized that even before you started hitting people with other colors on?
Well, summertime's different, but just the structure of the workouts were better. Everybody's getting there on time. We were starting our lift on time at 8, you know. We had good numbers. 7-on-7 was good. I thought that especially our trip to Memphis, we really started playing better, and then a quick slants I thought was where we kind of came together at the passing game. But that's not real football, so to speak. So you never know until you get in the season.
Coach Rob Poole, our guest, the Lafayette High Mighty Lions. Their Prep Power Hour going down at Pete's on Johnston. All right, let's go through the non-district slate. 3 straight wins to begin the season. Put 66 on Generette. After that, I think a landmark win, 38-7 over St. Martinville, 41-7 over Patterson. Let's start there, an offensive outburst to begin the season. I mean, remember it with us if you don't mind. How did it happen?
Well, you know, I thought that our offensive staff always does a good job of making people have conflicts with how they do things. So we were able to attack coverage. We always had a hat on a hat when we ran the football, and our kids had a lot of confidence from the summer and fall camp, so they were making big plays. The main thing, though, I felt like is just if we had a big play, we scored, but if we didn't, we figured out how to drive the football. You know, I felt like our opening script was successful every time we came out the gate. We scored fast. I think we scored three times in that first game before we got through the opening 10 plays. So just starting fast and having a sense of urgency and playing with emotion was a lot better.
When you first brought out your starting quarterback this season, a couple of years back, he was really young. Now he's, I guess, accrued some time in the system. What's been the most impressive thing about Sonya for you?
Well, it's just the level of intelligence and maturity. We do on offense, a lot of high schools don't do. You know, I grew up in a wing tee. We could run all of our plays in 30 minutes, and a lot of people do that, but we decided to be more of a multiple spread offense, so we can be in two tight or five wide, whatever we feel like we need to do to win the game. There's a lot more lingo that is involved in calling the plays. He understands pass protections and route combinations and run game stuff, so really played well early in the season.
Over 33 points a game, even to this point, in a six-game season. But I mentioned that St. Martinville game. What did that do for this team's confidence? That's a pretty name-brand program, I think, in this area. To get a win, to do it like you did at home, I mean, how did that help this team moving forward?
I think it just gives us confidence. The more you win, the more you feel like you're supposed to win. But they're a good football team, and we talked about mental toughness and physical toughness before that game, especially with Coach Derwin over there. He does an awesome job. But our mental toughness came about early in the game. They had driven inside the 30, I think, four times. We made them go for it on fourth down and found a way to get a stop. And then offensively, we put some drives together and just kept pressure on until we got some busts late in the second half. It really kind of blew the game open.
Since you've moved into district play, by and large, it's been a little more of a defensive thing, right? It's not that Sonya and the offense have gone away, but a huge homecoming win, 11-10. That's like an extra innings baseball score over Sulphur. I know it was exciting. Give us the rundown of how that came to fruition late in the game.
Well, you know, I thought that was another test. I felt like we've had some big tests early on, but that test was, all right, we hadn't started out clicking on offense. We've had to make some stops. We really didn't stop them too well in the first half, even though they only had 10 points. They really put some drives together. Their coaching staff did an unbelievable job putting together a game plan and kind of causing us some problems. So we had to get into halftime, make some adjustments defensively. You know, and then the other thing that I felt I was most proud of was it wasn't like we went out, we scored fast. It was stop. You know, we got a turnover, we got a field goal. We didn't really put together that touchdown drive until it was 3 minutes to go in the ball game. So a lot of mental toughness, you know, going in there, just being persistent and trying to find a way to win.
The direct snap to Derez Landry, your running back, that resulted in the two-point conversion. Have you practiced that? How did that play call kind of come into that, you know, that situation in that type of moment?
Well, I asked the staff. I was on the offensive side. I can flip between the two on my headset. So I asked them about the 20-yard line. I was like, hey, if we score, y'all want to go for two? And it was like crickets. I don't know what happened. And then Coach Bommelin just started calling the next play. So I was like, well, I guess I'm going to have to make the decision. But when we scored, I just heard them start saying, hey, let's go. So we decided to go for two. I felt like they didn't have, but they were less than a minute, you know. They were going to have to go 80 because our kicker is really good, and he's going to put it in the end zone. So they're going to have to go 80 with no timeouts. Not 80, but, you know, get in field goal range. And I felt like we go ahead and win the game right there. We had a lot of momentum at the moment. So, you know, that was just a lot of physical toughness right there. He got squared up by the Mike Becker at, like, the 3-yard line and just kept turning his legs so he got in the end zone.
Another few moments with Rob Poole, head coach of the Lafayette High Mighty Lions. All right, you mentioned special teams. And you've got a weapon, Jacques Como. I think he's very well recognized, not only in the area, but in recruiting circles as well. How does that change the offensive game plan? I know you want to score, 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 but knowing the three's in the bag once you hit a certain point, that's got to be liberating.
I think it changed your third down call, you know, past the 35. I feel like he's, you know, from 52 in, he's pretty solid. So it kind of changes how you attack people as you go into the red zone. Because you don't want to take a chance that maybe somebody else might have to. You know, also, he's hit like over 50 extra points in a row. So, you know, you never get in a situation where you have that odd score. you know, where you have to make decisions on two-point conversions and stuff like that because you're behind the eight ball with, you know, a 6 or 12. But, you know, on top of that, the punt game is strong. You know, he's averaging over 45 a kick. I can't remember the exact number, but, you know, some of them have been over 60 inside the 5 when he wants to. And then, you know, with kickoffs, that's a big thing to us is, you know, we kick off and now you got to go 80 yards, you know, for a touchdown. You know, it helps the percentage on, you know, I was studying Pulaski, you know, in the off season because they onside kick every time. And I'm like, they had a study, analytics study, where they said you've got like a 30%, you know, higher chance of scoring offensively if you start your drive past the 35. I was like, looked at our numbers. Well, if you start at the 20, the percentage is way lower. So we didn't feel like it was what we needed to do.
So 52. Do you feel confident in Como if it really kind of got pushed out? Where's your limit that you would allow him to go?
I think a lot of it's just based on his feel. He'll tell me if he feels good about it or not. You know, that's one thing. But the other thing, I've seen him hit a 60-yarder at practice last season in a walkthrough. He hit one right on the middle of the state logo. So he's got a tremendous leg, and our special teams do a good job of protecting, and we get a good snap in the hole most times.
Coach, tell me about your defense. I know Oliver Craddock, it took him about 3 weeks into this season to experience life without a pick six. You've got some right. guys that are opportunistic, and you've got some seniors.
Well, I think Micah Williams and Hunter Welch have done a good job at the bookend on the defensive line. They've really given us a push, you know, in pass pro or pass rush. They've been able to put pressure on the quarterback and affect them. I feel like the two guys in the middle, Dedrick Williams and Malik Nelson, have done a good job of holding the point, you know. And it's made us – we went from a 3-4 to a 4-3, tried to get some more, you know, hard spots on that D-line, and they've done a good job of that. In the second day, I think Christian Vincent's had a good year at safety, and Simeon's returning at the other safety. And our corners, Chris Duracell and Cameron Smith and a couple other kids that are rotating in there, they've done a good job of limiting explosive plays. So, you know, I think we're just better at every position, really, on defense. And then, you know, of course, you mentioned Oliver. He's the returning starter. You know, we're starting two inside backers that are sophomores.
Okay.
So, you know, I think late in the game against Como, we had four juniors and four sophomores on the field. So there's some youth there that gives us some depth that's been pretty athletic for us.
Mighty Lions, I mentioned 4-2 in the season. You can listen to every game on the Rewind, 97.7 FM. And before we let you go, we got to preview the game at Barb this Friday. It's a big one. I mean, your group's used to that trip to Lake Charles. There's got to be some confidence, and I'm sure a lot of admiration and respect for that program.
Well, Barb does a good job. They don't make things complicated. You know what you're going to get before you flip the film on. I know they're going to be jet sweep run game that complements it and some RPO throws. They do a good job of spacing in the trips package and causing you some problems with their route combinations and getting hats. I thought, you know, their staff does a really good job of game planning. I know last year they hurt us a lot with formation in the boundary, which we hadn't seen from them. You know, there's always going to be a wrinkle. And then on defense, they move a lot. They play an odd front, and they stay in quarters coverage and try to limit the big play. When they get ahead, it forces your hand and throwing the ball into eight, you know, dropping eight guys. So they're always strong on special teams. So it's always a big test when you go over there, and we've got to play a really good football game, and we've got to be physical.
Hey, there is one more thing I wanted to get to. And this takes me back to 2 years ago. You and I were here, I think even last year, and Corin Norman was with us. Now he's on that LSU roster. How cool is that for Lafayette High football?
I think it's always special if you can see your guys on Saturdays, you know, and I've been lucky throughout my career to have guys that do that and Sundays and stuff like that. But just to see his hard work pay off for him, you know, and it's always an uphill battle when you're you know, probably not getting recruited like you wanted to. We tried to do all we could, but he found a spot with him, you know, and I think even taking him to practice at times, Coach Randa said, hey, just sometimes it's just the guys that are just real persistent that find a spot. So, you know, best of luck to him in his pursuit of his dreams and football and everything. And I think regardless, he's going to have some great experiences, even if he doesn't work into the starting lineup.
Coach, best of luck to you and Lafayette High. We'll get to talk to some of the kids here momentarily, but it's always fun catching up with you. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
All right, we'll be right back in after a quick break. I think we'll hear from the cheerleaders as we play back in this next time. It's Lafayette High's Prep Power Hour on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports. But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
And welcome back in. As you can hear, Lafayette High is in the building. Mighty Lions cheerleaders bringing us right back in for more of the LHS Prep Power Hour on 103.7 The Game. Just take it in. I love it. Mighty Lions are here. Ben Love, and I'll be joined in this segment to begin with quarterback Zan Sanye, a junior. And Zan, I'm sure you've heard a lot of this up close and personal. I don't know if you ever had it this close before.
Yes, sir.
This is pretty fun, man. And I got to tell you, it's been a fun start to the season. In fact, the best in 5 years for Lafayette High. What's it been like, the support from the community of your school, as the Lions are off to a heck of a start?
Definitely. I mean, we've had a lot of confidence coming into the season. You know, we just wanted to be that team that changed culture. And, I mean, the culture's not changed yet, but, you know, we're doing everything we can. We got some great leaders on this team, some great coaches. You know, we just want to be those guys that change the school.
It's easy to say winning can help change a culture, but how do you get to that point? How do you go from zero wins 2 years ago to on the cusp of some really cool things now?
Definitely coaching, but I definitely think just the leaders on the team. The talent separating this team and the team 2 years ago, we've had less talent, if I'm going to be honest. And just the leaders stepped up this year, and we've really just, you know, set in stone what we want for the next couple of years in the future. You know, we just want to be those guys that change it and, you know, just led by example.
Take me to that Sulphur game. In late third quarter, you're in a 10-point hole. Before you get that first field goal from Jacques, you come and you answer with a touchdown, 2-point conversion. Was there a moment on the sideline in the huddle where you and the offense said, okay, this is how we turn it around, this is when we do it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the whole game we were saying, hey, we're a better team. We know we have to win this game. We get into halftime, you know, going 10-0 and Sulphur's, you know, 1-3. You know, we were pretty upset. You know, we wanted this win. And, you know, me and a couple other guys came in the huddle and we said, look, we're not losing this game. Impose your will. And, you know, we took it down, got the 3-point from Jock. And then fourth quarter, we ended up getting a good drive, and we ended up scoring. I threw a little bubble pass, and they called it back with a block in the back. And I said, listen, impose your will. And everybody, you know, kind of related to each other, impose your will. And the next play, we ran a duo, and the rest took it into the end zone. And then the rest basically imposed his will into for the 2-point conversion. So really, halftime, you know, just talking during halftime was awesome.
I could tell from talking with you, certainly you're a leader on this team. Zan Sanye, a junior quarterback, is with us. And you don't always learn as much from wins as you do losses. So what have the Lions taken away from that blemish, that niche, that you want to move forward with and say, you know what, here's how we're going to get better and here's why we're going to get better?
Definitely. I think that niche was definitely kind of a reality check for us. You know, we've had a successful season so far, and I feel like, you know, as a team, we kind of got complacent, and we felt like we were there, you know, 4-1. It sounds pretty good on paper, and I feel like as a team, we just really kind of we're soaking it in too much. And you know, Nish, who's a really talented Nish team, you know, having a rough season, you know, they crept up on us, and we got complacent. And I think it was kind of a reality check. It humbled us a little bit. I hate it had to happen in a game and a loss, but I think it really is going to develop our team even better than it already has.
You've got plenty of skilled players that can get it done behind you as well as out on the perimeter. But shout out your big uglies. Who are the old linemen that keep you upright?
Oh, man. Okay, so Miles is actually hurt right now. But Miles, my big center, always snapping it hard and fast, making his call. He's awesome. Got my left guard, but Rayvon Spears, hell of a guy. Got a big heart. You know, he's the clown on the team. He's keeping everybody up. Corey's got a heart of steel, man. He'll play out there, play for you. You know, he's right there behind you in anything. Then we got Big Sean Gotro, right guard. Hell of a guy. Love that man to death. Squatted 610 pounds in sophomore year. A man, and he could play. And then we got Big Greg Mouton on the right side. Now, Greg likes to clown around, but, you know, he does what he got to do all the time, and he's locked in when we need him to be locked in. Some awesome guys.
I love the scouting report. All right, we're going to have some fun with you, and then we're going to welcome on one of your defensive teammates. Every time that we bring through a high school team, we ask how well you know your teammates.
Okay.
Who's the fastest player on the Lafayette High team?
Oh, come on, definitely, 100%. Oh, well, you think Micah? I don't know. Okay, so I'll just tell you. So Micah, Micah was on the junior Olympic team, right? Yeah, John. So Micah was on the junior Olympic team a couple years back. Now he can run. Track star. And Kavon's pretty fast, too. I say Kavon just because I throw him the fade balls, but Micah's pretty fast.
All right, who's the – you might have just told me with that impressive squat total. Who's the strongest player on this team?
Oh, probably Sean Gautreaux. That he's a horse. He can roll the weights.
Smartest player on the Lafayette High team. And take that half – smart, football smart. Man. I know they're different.
So if I'm going to be honest, I'd probably say Oliver Craddock. He's definitely book smart. I don't remember exactly the score for the ACT, but I think his freshman year, 33 on the ACT his freshman year. Smart, no, just now? Sophomore year, yeah. No, I mean, he's smart as a whip. I mean, we're studying. We both take calculus together this year. I mean, you know, we're having hard tests and stuff. Hey, you studied? Nah. And he gets A on the test. You know, he's smart as a whip.
Zan, I appreciate the time. Best of luck to you. We're gonna swap it out and go defense next. But thanks
awesome.
Again, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
That's Zan Sonia. Give him a hand. Starting quarterback for the Lafayette High Mighty Lions. And as we swap headsets here, we're gonna bring Micah Williams aboard, senior defensive end. I got to give another shout out. How about the two-time state champ, regional champ, in dance team? That's right, in game day dance team, getting it done on a big stage for these Mighty Lions. And we are going to welcome now Micah Williams. All right, a lot of people are crowing about what the offense did in an 11-10 win over Sulphur, but that's a heck of a game for the defense, right, against a really good Sulphur team. How did you guys make that happen?
I think it was just our mentality. We knew what we had to do, just executed what we had to do, and made sure that we didn't make it more than what it was and just kept on grinding.
I guess I would ask you how this Lafayette High defense feels different than last year.
I think it's just our mentality. Like, we're a closer group. I would definitely say we're a lot closer, and we don't think that we can't handle anything or anything's impossible for us. We think we can conquer anything, and we're very tight-knit, and we're going to get the job done. Right?
As you look ahead to the Barb game, it's not only a good team, but as you know, it's a good offense. Davis Mesh, the quarterback, likes to throw it all over the yard. What have you seen in film, and what's important for you in this defense in a game like Friday night?
I think just not making it more than – just keeping it all in perspective, just making sure that we don't get overhyped and let everything around us get to us. Just focus on the game, focus on the film, break it down. And they're a football team like everybody else. They bleed just like we bleed. So I'm not gonna hype them up. And I mean, they're a good football team. I'm going to give them the respect, but I'm not going to hype them up and make them more than what it is.
Has the start to this season given confidence, you think, to this program that, you know, we're ready to go back and tackle bigger things now?
Oh, definitely. I think we're a way different. I think we're leaps and bounds from where we were last year. I think it's just a really different team this year.
So you heard everything that your quarterback said, right? Fastest, strongest, smartest. You got any discrepancies?
No, I think he's about right on those. I think he's just about right. I don't know. The fastest, I can maybe dispute down. Maybe.
You were on the junior Olympic team, man.
I guess I'll give myself down.
That's pretty major. All right, I saved a few that I didn't put on a tee for your quarterback. Who's the biggest eater on this team? Who can put away the most groceries?
I would say probably Miles. Probably Miles. He's about to order about 3 burgers right now.
Dude gets hurt, and then he's just getting clowned on left and right. All right. I got a few more. We usually go down this road as well. Loudest coach.
Ooh. Coach B. Coach B, definitely. Coach B is definitely the loudest coach. Definitely.
Tell me about what this summer was like, in particular August, as you started to get ready for this season. I'm sure that internally there was a belief that the rest of this Acadiana area has seen since, but what was the preparation like from your standpoint?
It was totally different. I mean, from the 4 years or 3 or 4 years that I've done summer camp, I just felt the difference in how we're coming at it, and it wasn't just summer camp. It was getting ready for the season and just making sure that everything, all our ducks were in a row. I just felt like the atmosphere of summer training was a lot different than it's ever been, and I mean, I guess that just kind of got us really fired up to come into this season and perform. You know?
We're coming down the stretch with senior defensive end Micah Williams. All right, I saved one more for you. Hardest player to tackle on your own team?
Hardest player to tackle. Oh, I would say it's either J Sam when he's jumping around or Landon whenever he gets his little play. But it's either Landon or J Sam.
There you go. Micah, this is fun. Best of luck to you in that defense,
yes,
the rest of the season.
Thank you.
We're going to take a final break, and we'll be back in. We got more Mighty Lions coming at you. It's Lafayette High's Prep Power Hour, live from Pete's on Johnston on 103.7 The Game.
You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
And here we go back in one more time, and we brought the kicker with us. That's right, it's Lafayette High's Prep Power Hour live from Pete's on Johnston on 1037 The Game. Been a huge crowd here so far, and our pleasure to reintroduce him. To Jacques Como, senior kicker for the Mighty Lions. Jacques, what do you make out of this support so far? This is pretty cool.
Yes, sir, it is. It's great support out here. It actually shows we're well at the games, too. They're loud. They're encouraging to us. So just keep it up.
And I'm glad you brought that up. I haven't asked anybody yet, your coach or any of your teammates, about the home field advantage. What was it like the first time you kind of came through the tunnel, so to speak, and you realized, wow, this is what it's going to be like, big-time football?
It was a great feeling because it just showed that all the fans like were supporting us, so that it actually gave us a boost of energy.
All right. Your coach said 52, he's comfortable. Practice 60. Furthest you've ever made one from?
That would have to be 61.
To me, it's absolutely incredible. For our listeners, give them an idea of how you kind of, I guess, came into this. A soccer background at all? Was it football first? How did you come
this? I played soccer since I was 3, so that kind of gave me all my background about how to kick and everything. And then my dad kicked at Lafayette High his senior year, and then my uncle kicked at Lafayette High as well.
Did you see it as a path to potentially be able to play college football one day, or has it just kind of turned into that?
It kind of just turned into that because it was entering my freshman year. I played baseball, and one of the dads was like, oh, we don't have a punter. And he talked to my dad and said, try to get Jock to come out. And then I tried. I kind of liked it, so then I kept doing it. And then after summer workouts, Coach Poole told me, he was like, you're on the varsity team. So that's how it became.
Unbelievable. Jock Como, senior kicker for Lafayette High, our guest. Did punting come secondary, or was that always part of the package for you playing football?
That was pretty much always the package because I started out just punting my freshman year, and I also kicked for the freshman and JV team. And then my sophomore year was the first year I started for both, so it kind of just molded me how I am.
I got to ask you, what was kicking at Cajun Field like? You had an opportunity to do that in the Jamboree.
Probably the best feeling because it's just such a big stadium and everything, so it's surreal.
Do you ever root for your team to not make it on third down once they're inside at a certain point?
Not necessarily, because I always want to put up more points with the team. So I see it as I always tell Zan, the QB, just score as many touchdowns as possible and let me kick as many extra points as possible.
Okay, so I haven't seen one of your games yet this season. You handle the kickoff duties as well?
Yes, sir.
You could probably put it in the end zone or maybe out of the end zone anytime you want. Is that usually the order of things, or do you like maybe playing some of those games to get a return?
Well, we have different kickoffs to try to get the ball back, but usually it's just kick it deep, get it in the end zone.
How about an onside kick game? How would you describe yours?
I would say above average, but it's also thanks to the team behind me, because if I can put it on the ground and I can get a bounce, I know that they'll recover it.
What's it like watching this offense and this team in general get out to a 4-2 start to the season? You know that you're doing a lot to influence it, obviously, but it's got to be pretty special.
It is, because I just love how whenever we're clicking on offense, it's just everybody's up on their feet, everybody's cheering, everybody's like, it's basically like just adrenaline running through your body the whole game.
John, congratulations. Best of luck the rest of this season moving forward to college. Pleasure talking with you, man.
Thank you. You too.
That's Jacques Como. We'll give him a hand. And we're going to swap the mic out one more time. Hey, as we do that, everybody here deserves a hand. We got a total head count right now, 88 people strong. Lafayette High, Mighty Lions in the building. And we got a few more moments to go. I was warned by Coach this could be my best or my worst interview, but it would be my most entertaining. Senior right tackle Greg Mouton is with us. Greg, you're excited to do this, man. I'm glad to have you here.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right, give me a little bit of background here. What's it like protecting this guy here, Zan?
It's kind of interesting because Zan is like
There we go. Go ahead.
It's kind of interesting because Zan's like a natural leader. So if like one of us is having a bad game, he'll get on us, but like in a positive way to like make us pick up our game to match his intensity. And then everything kind of works out from there.
Describe your leadership style on this team.
My leadership style? I would like to say that, like, I'm that guy that everybody looks to. Like, when everybody else is mad, I'm probably smiling in the corner. That's me. I'm always smiling. I'm always laughing. So we always kind of, everybody always kind of looks at me for a laugh.
How would you describe this Lafayette High offense, the way you attack defenses?
Lafayette High offense? I would say we're dominant. We try and be one to know every snap. And therefore, and we ain't trying to pose our will. We don't take no fair answer. That's our mind thing.
They seem to think that you maybe have some team funny guy qualities. Are they right?
Nah, I like to think so.
Do you do any awesome coach impressions? Any that can be said on air?
Oh, on air. All right. Coach Ward.
All right, you got to hit me with that.
I need y'all like I need a heart attack. And I don't need one of those.
Tell me about Coach Poole and what he's done to help turn this program around.
He came in here. He changed the culture. We went from being known as the city boys, the pretty boys, nobody wants to hit. And we kind of turned our offense, we kind of turned our team into a smash mouth team. And now we're just trying to pose our will and so on.
I think you might play in the toughest district in this area, if not the state. What's it like kind of, you know, iron sharpening iron with that type of competition?
With that type of competition, it raises everybody to come hot, to, like, raise their competition higher. So, like, when we raise our competition, it's kind of like it's getting us better looks. So, like, as far as recruiting and everything, like, it'll help us get better recruiting than, like, one of us just going down to, like, 3A or 2A and just dominating.
We've heard some things about the Barb offense. You're going to go up against the Barb defense. What have you seen against them on film?
They're really athletic, and they move their hands a lot, so we're going to have to come out and play one of our best games of the season so far.
They were right. You've been a good interview, man. Greg, it's great to have you here. Best of luck against Barb the rest of the season. Give it up. That's Greg Mouton. And one more time, give it up for yourselves. It has been a fun hour here as we've gotten together at Pete's on Johnston. The Lafayette High Mighty Lions, 4-2 on the season, 1-2 in district play, and looking to get back to 500 in 3-5A with a game at Barb this weekend. Again, a 4-2 start. They've got two in a row on the road. That's a game played at Turnleys Catholic on Thursday the 24th. Sam Houston will be back at the Lions Den. That's a big one on the first day of November and at Acadiana on November the 8th. So four more games to go and a Lafayette High team that wants to crash the 5A playoffs. They've got every opportunity to do that. So I want to thank Coach Poole and all these great players for joining us. My name's Ben Love, and this has been the Lafayette High Prep Power Hour, live from Pete's on Johnston on 103.7 The Game.